and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast for September 10th. It's brought to you by Shooters in Nagoya. I'm John Gibson, and with me in lovely downtown Tokyo, Shinjuku, is Jim Allen. Yeah, yeah, Jim Allen, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. I'm on my way to work, and you're off today, so there.
Press holidays.
Press holidays.
Sent from heaven, I suppose.
Okay, well, instead of making a short story long, we'll just get on with the program.
All right, let's get to the program. We've got an interview with Tony the Barnburner Barnett of the Yakult Swallows, and we're going to discuss the WBC and touch on a few other topics, including trains.
Yeah.
So let's start clearing the bases. All right, so I got to sit down with Swallows closer, Tony Barnett, on Friday, usually late in the week. I usually try to get the interviews done earlier in the week, but we got out there on Friday, and basically he stayed on with the Swallows after having a pretty poor season that first season that he was with them. He wasn't a great starter. He just had mediocre numbers, and I think they put him in the bullpen as...
Well, he wasn't starting a lot, and he was telling me that earlier in the season... that he actually had really good numbers. He had good numbers except against the Tigers and Giants.
Well, that helps. That's impressive. Those are important teams to be successful against.
Yeah, if you don't have good numbers, if you're a Swallows pitcher and you don't have good numbers against the Dragons, they send you to the minors.
Against the Dragons or the Giants.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think he was that impressive as a starter.
No.
And he was injured. I believe he got released. But he came back. They brought him back. He got healthy. They brought him back for that second year last year, and he was pretty effective last year. He's been great this year. He's been a godsend for him.
Well, basically what happened was they put him in the bullpen instead of pitching who knows when and going to Saitama Prefecture to the farm team every week and a half. It would be, he was in the bullpen every day, and he was in the game, and it was a major improvement.
Yeah, he had a WHIP of 1.75 his first year, but it's down to 1.03 this year. He's got about a strikeout an inning this year. He's given up only 4 home runs, and he's only walked 6 guys, which I really like. He's not giving away bases either.
Okay.
So he's been really good. He's got 23 saves and 43 innings pitched. Without Lim Chung-young, who I don't believe is going to come back. I was talking to one of the other reporters out there, and I think he's going to have more work done on his elbow.
Well, he's had, didn't he have Tommy John surgery this spring?
Uh-huh.
And, that's a situation that the club has an option on him this year, next year. And so that'll be interesting to see. They'd have to swallow a lot of money, spend out a lot of money.
Pardon the pun, right?
Yeah, it was indeed.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, I as long as Barnett's going to be effective like this, and he's still a young guy.
Is he?
Yeah, I think he's 28.
Wow.
Because he came here, I'll check on it as we talk, but he's fairly young, so I don't think they have to worry about the closer role, even if they don't have Liam, I think he can take over. So, it was a great chat. Let's take a listen to the interview. All right, our guest this week is Tony Barnett of the Yakult Swallows. How are you feeling, buddy?
Feeling good. Things are good.
Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate the pub.
We wanted to have you on for a long time. It's just we don't get to go out and cover stories.
Hard to catch up to, huh?
Well, we got to find you, but we got to get out to find you, so we haven't been able to do that. Now, how are you feeling physically?
I feel good. Things are good.
What happened to get you deactivated, and how did you get back?
You know, honestly, just second day in the All-Star break, we were in Matsuyama. I had closed out the game in Osaka, and then the next day I was just playing catch with Akagawa, one of the other pitchers on our team.
Yeah.
I was just playing catch, just normal, light. I'm not doing anything that day, play catch, and next thing I know, back just tightened up on me. It just out of nowhere just tightened right up on me, and so we played it by ear the next few days. Just didn't really seem to get any better. Got a little tighter as the days went on, and so the team obviously, took the precaution of taking me off to get it worked out. I tried telling them that I could pitch through it. I wanted to, but they, Ogawa had the sense to tell me that I'm no good to him if I'm not 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And, he was right. I was trying to play off my pride and push through it, but...
Pride's a good thing, but it can be a bad thing.
It really can be. And so, we took about almost 2 weeks, got it right, got the tightness and everything out of there, and I'm good to go.
All right. You weren't rushed back then?
No, I wasn't rushed back.
All right. Now, it seems like this team has endured an inordinate number of injuries this year. Have you ever experienced injuries on this level on a team?
No. I really haven't. In the grand scheme of things, I really haven't been around that long. I mean, half a season in rookie ball back home, a year in A ball, year in Double A, year in Triple A, then I was over here. And so I really haven't been around a team enough to actually endure something like this.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. We have had some unfortunate turn of events as far as guys coming up lame.
Now, yeah, in those terms, you guys have been able to endure and pull through. I mean, you still have a chance at the postseason. The Giants are playing some pretty out-of-control baseball, but you guys still have a chance at the postseason.
Yeah, and you know what? We've had a lot of younger guys step up into roles that at the very beginning you didn't think, we're going to be big. You thought we were going to be pretty big holes for us, on the pitching staff-wise, you got Hidaka and Yamamoto,
mm-hmm.
who have done outstanding jobs this year. I mean, Yamamoto's ERA is like 1.3, and Hidaka had a couple rough patches there, but he's up there in appearances. But both of those guys, they really haven't had much experience at the top team level, and for them to come in and step up into setup roles, really, and to give Oshimoto a break when he needs it,
mm-hmm.
those two have been key factors in us being able to win games late in the game. And on the offensive wise, you got a plethora of younger guys who have stepped up and done some good things, such as Matsui and Yuhei, and even Ueda, who's he spent a little bit of time hurt, but all three of those guys have Morioka filling in a shortstop.
Hiane had a three-hit game the other
yeah,
day.
Yeah, Hiane, starting to come around. He's still young and pretty green, but
he's pretty dark. He's been playing some outdoor baseball.
Toto will do that to you. We've had a good group of younger guys step up into roles and kind of embrace the opportunity that they've been given.
Are you surprised by it? I mean, I kind of was surprised. I thought this was going to be a downfall for the team.
Well, I mean, any time you get a young guy to step up in a clutch situation or play some games and do some good things on the baseball field, it's not so much as a surprise. If it was that big of a surprise, then they probably wouldn't have been given that opportunity in the first place. Obviously, they're expected to perform at a certain level, and of course, just because they're young and rookies doesn't mean that we're gonna let them off the hook if they don't perform.
Right.
So it's not so much as a surprise as it is a gives us a chance to breathe. When a guy comes in and does a good job, like Matsui came in and started hitting home runs, everyone's like, oh, thank goodness.
Yeah.
We got some more pop in the lineup, so that was good for us.
Now, personally, you took over for Liam at the back of the bullpen, and he came up for a little while and then went down, and we don't know what's going to happen with him, but how do you grade your work at the back of the bullpen?
Personally, I think I've done a good job at the end of the bullpen. Had a couple, a couple miscues late in games, but in reality, that's going to happen. But for the most part, I think I took what I learned last year in the bullpen and kind of stepped into Lim's shoes a little bit better than people anticipated. I enjoy the role, and I think I've been doing a pretty good job there.
Yeah, I like the work that you've been doing at the back of the bullpen for sure. Then let's talk about the CL. You guys had your way. You've had your way with the Dragons, seems
mm-hmm.
like, but then you've struggled with the Bay Stars. Can you explain that for us all?
That's baseball, man. That's just baseball.
Don't give me that. Don't run away and hide behind that. That's
no,
baseball.
No, I mean,
thing.
To be honest with you, when the Dragons come into town, or when we go there, it just seems like one of those matchups where when we look at them, we know we're going to win. It's just I think we match up well against them, and we play very good baseball against them. They're not they've got good hitters, but they're not the offensive threat that some other teams are. I just think there's a confidence that comes with certain teams and certain matchups that play well against each other. The Bay Stars, they've been our Achilles heel for some reason.
You're saying you don't feel like you're going to beat them every time?
Well, and that's, we Obviously, you want to, as a baseball player, as any athlete, you want to go in saying, you know, I've got this, you know, we got to win, you know, but you can never go into any sporting event thinking it's going to be a walk in the park.
Right.
You know, they're still professionals. Even though they're at the bottom of the league, they're still professionals. They still are playing at the highest, you know, highest level here in Japan. And they've got some guys who have done some good things in baseball with Rami Nakamura. Even Ishikawa's got hurt now, but him at the beginning of the lineup, if you get that guy on base, you know, he can do some damage. And they've got a lot of young guys and a lot of inexperienced guys who can do some good things once they when it clicks for them. And when you get late in the game, you got Yamaguchi, who's, I think he's got some of the best stuff as any reliever in the country.
We all know about his stuff. It's just his control.
Yeah, and, you know, he's what, 25 years old?
He's still young.
It'll come. You know, he's 25, and he's already notched 100 saves, so he's only going to get better from here on out.
Yeah. All right, you guys are in a really interesting battle. I think it's going to be down. It's going to go down to the wire for third place, and we look at the Hiroshima Carp. We're not sure about the Hanshin Tigers, so we'll throw them out for now. Going down the stretch, what's the mentality for these last 3 weeks?
The mentality is just, it's A, stay floating, don't sink, and you know,
I like that. Don't sink.
You know,
don't worry about moving toward land.
Know,
just don't sink.
You know, and we're not pressing. I don't think we're pressing yet. I think we're still trying to play our baseball and trying to win every game that comes at us. Obviously, it's going to take. It's been kind of a back and forth with us in the car, but I mean, we've came back from 3.5. We've tied them up now, and as long as Maeda, Nomura, and Otake aren't winning games, I think we got a good chance. You know, so I mean, I think Maeda hasn't won in his last, you know, three outings or something like that. And Nomura got roughed up pretty good his last time, and they just took Otake off their roster. So those three guys.
But he won.
Yeah, he did win. But those three guys are the key to their team right there. If they're winning, you know, if they're on their game, then no one's gonna. You know, I don't think anybody can really beat Maeda and Nomura when they've got their best stuff this year.
Right.
But I just think, you know, Swallows, we just got to keep playing our game. We got Ballantyne back. Lassings is on fire. You know, guys, Murinaka is getting hot. He's getting real hot on the mound.
Yeah.
He's pitching the way that...
Every time he pitches the Dragons, it's killing them.
And he's pitching the way that we've all thought he can pitch.
Yeah, we know.
He's got the stuff. He's got the physicality to do it. And, you know, like you said, you know, with Yamaguchi, he's young and it'll come. But that confidence just has to stick with him. And I think he's in a good spot right now.
All right, these Giants are pretty tough. Are they better than you thought they would be? Or are they right where you expected them to be?
I think they're playing the way that they should have been playing early on. They had some snags early on in the year, trying to, you know, they added some new guys, you know, kind of the growing pains of getting a new team together, but I think they're right where they should be. You know, looking up and down their lineup, you got guys that can hurt you with Chono, Sakamoto, Abe, Murata's no slouch, Takahashi, and even, you know, those main guys right there are enough to hurt a team, and they've proven it throughout the entire year. But I think we've played tough against the Giants this year. We've played them very well, and I think it'll be an interesting series.
All right, last question. I see from some of your tweets that you're a football fan. Any predictions for college and NFL?
You know, I really don't follow college all that much. You know, that's just from me going to Arizona State.
Okay.
Arizona State football doesn't really do much for anybody.
Go Red Devils, Sun Devils.
Yeah, go Sun, exactly. Nobody even knows. But
I just had to remember.
Sun Devils, man. I mean,
I haven't said it in 20 years.
I don't understand why Sun Devils aren't a better football team. It's Arizona State. Who doesn't want to go? What prospect doesn't want to go to Arizona State?
Okay, your prediction.
You know, prediction is Arizona State will finish. They'll finish middle of the pack. Won't even be anybody to sneeze at, really.
All right.
Start off hot.
NFL.
Seahawks, man. I love my Seahawks. I think they're going to be good this year. Pete Carroll, I like what Pete Carroll's done. I think we've got the NFC West.
Go Russell Wilson.
Big fan of Russell Wilson right now. I mean, I didn't really. And of course, I like Matt Flynn too. I like that acquisition, but the way Russell Wilson's playing right now, you got to love a player that comes in and forces a team's hand.
Right.
You know, he forced Tavares Jackson right out of the picture, and you know, he's a third round guy that everyone said is too small, and he's just basically saying, hey, here's the deal, guys. I'm here to play. If you don't want me to play, I'm going to find someone who will let me.
All right.
I love it.
Birds over there, birds over here. Good luck to your Swallows the rest of the way.
Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot for joining us. All right, Tony, great chat, man. I know we turned into NFL football today or college football today, but that was fun too. What were your thoughts? What stuck with you after that one?
Well, my first thought was football predictions. What does that have to do with what we're here for, John?
Oh, well, he tweets a lot of stuff, Jim.
Okay.
He tweets predictions? A lot of stuff about football. Well, he's into it. Hey, you know, you pick Arizona State to finish. Whatever that means.
Okay, whatever. Okay. Well, before we move on, I'm going to give you a list, and you tell me what this list consists of.
Okay.
Other than the names. Yoshihisa Hirano.
Okay.
Shun Yamaguchi. Takeru Imamura.
Uh-huh.
Cam Mikolayo. Naoya Masuda from the from the Marines. Yasuhiko Yabuta.
Who was the first guy? Keiichi Hirano?
Yoshihisa Hirano, the Buffaloes.
Okay.
Jorge Sosa.
Okay.
Daisuke Yamai.
All right.
Takehiko Oshimoto.
Uh-huh.
Koji Aoyama.
Mm-hmm.
Kentaro Nishimura.
Okay.
Tetsuya Yamaguchi.
All relievers who...
Hideki Okajima.
Uh-huh.
Masahiko Morifuku. Mm-hmm. And Hirotoshi Masuya, the fighters. What does that list represent?
All the relievers who have ERAs below 2.
Well, they're all relievers. But the
all relievers who have pitched more innings than Tony Barnett.
No.
All relievers who are right-handed and who... I don't know. You got me.
Well, they're not all right-handed because Okajima's on there Yamaguchi's
right.
on there.
These
are all the relievers in Japan this year who have one save and who have not been on deactivated all year.
Uh-huh.
That is the list.
Wow.
Well, I was thinking of that because of Barnett. Actually, I was going to give you the other list, but it's much longer.
Oh, no. Stop, please.
So, the point being, this is... I really don't know if what this means in the big picture. Is this a normal... I mean, of course, some of these guys, for example, Daisuke Yamai was not going to be the closer. And
yeah.
He started the season, you know, as a spot starter and long reliever. And Masuda was not going to be the closer, but when Yabuta was ineffective, you know, they switched their roles. Takehiko Oshimoto is nobody really wants him to be the closer. In fact, as a Swallows fan, I don't even want to see him out there after the fifth inning.
Oh, come on now. He's not that bad. He had a good first half.
Yeah, he's bad every time I see him pitch, pretty much. I like the guy, but... yeah, he's just dynamite when I watch him.
not in a good way.
Okay, so that was one thought, is how many pitchers have been hurt, because the other list is about twice as long, and of course, and that list includes people. It doesn't include people like Lim Chang-young, who doesn't have a save this year, and it doesn't include people like Takahiro Mahara, who hasn't been active the entire year,
mm-hmm.
and it does include people who. Like Michael Nakamura,
mm-hmm.
who has one save, and who wasn't been up and down. A lot of guys have one save and are up and down. But anyway, just so Tony's done his best to avoid being on that list. There's some people like Brian Falkenberg who's just been living on that.
Right.
Anyway, it was fun to hear about the bugaboo with the Bay Stars.
Yeah, and that you know, when he said to me, he said, well, that's baseball because they have a good record against the Dragons and they don't play that well against...
Some of that is just random chance, but...
Yeah, but that's a great way of saying don't overthink the game, in my opinion. I mean, you know, I hear that statement, and I guess what you're basically saying is if you twist the numbers, they'll tell you anything you want to hear. And, yeah, I mean, sure, they might have hit the Dragons when the Dragons were down or hit the Bay Stars when the Bay Stars were high, something like that, but... You know, the thing to me is, I didn't want to buy that explanation. It just seemed to me that I heard him saying, essentially, we get up for the Dragons. You know, we want to play them. We like the matchups. We were confident against them. But against the Bay Stars, we're not sure, A, you know, who's going to be out there because they have a lot of young players we don't know. And we kind of don't get up for them mentally. We're not prepared.
Yeah,
that's what I hear.
I think that is true. I think they've just been, you know, they've just been bitten so many times that they're aware that the Bay Stars can beat them, and I think a lot of teams don't go into the Yokohama games with that sort of feeling that, wow, we could get beat today.
Yeah.
And so, but it was interesting to hear that. And I think, yeah, teams do. I think part of the reason for this is teams' reputations and what the matchups are and what the results are. I mean, you know, it's sometimes not really how good the team is, but, you know, just how the ball bounces some days and, you know, bounces more than others. I know Kazuhiro Hatakeyama, that's probably the one reason they're not, you know, he's not playing right now. I asked him about this. He's like a 440 career hitter against the Bay Stars.
Right.
He's like a 250 career hitter against everybody else.
Well, the Birds are 13-7 against the Dragons, but the bad news is they only have one game left against them. And they play the Giants five more times, I think. Mm-hmm. They go head-to-head with Hiroshima six times. They've got eight games against Hanshin, and they still have five games against the Bay Stars. So.
Which
means they're going to have to play these teams that I also went through to find out, and I left the information on my computer at the office, but they've only outscored one team in the Central League. Every other team has more runs against them, and obviously that one team that they've outscored is the Dragons.
Yeah.
It's against them.
There. Right.
And so what does it mean? It means they only play the team that they've outscored all season one more time. It just means they're going to have to score runs to win these games.
Well, that's more or less... we knew that anyway, that they're going to have to score more than they have, and that is the principle. Well, I think the principal issue for the Swallows has not been their run scoring, but their run prevention, particularly their defense. So I don't, you know, and I think the thing here is you see that particularly, well, I don't know if you can blame it on the defense on Ishikawa, because he's this guy who... he's normally doesn't show up until July 1st anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And he's basically a guy who's, when he's good, he gets a lot of ground ball outs. And I just haven't seen him be sharp like that in 3-4 years. But the problem with the Swallows defense is that they're not really that good, although the outfield defense is probably worse than the infield.
Yeah, I mean, they've had to play different guys at different positions, and we talked about that young kid, Hiane, who came up, and I joked about how dark he was. The kid's been playing so much outdoor baseball, he's darker than I am. But, yeah, they just, I don't think, I mean, defense in some situations is a team thing. You know, you've got to hit relay guys, you have to know where they're going to be, you have to know who's got what arm, and they don't have that. So I've seen a few balls bounce over some of the outfielders this season because they're just not used to playing at Jingu Stadium because they're new.
I don't know, I saw one game, it looked like, I don't know, somebody had put a voodoo hex on Lasting's millage in left field. I think, I don't remember if it was the Tigers or the Carp, but it seemed like they were doing the 1,000 fungo drill, hitting balls just out of his reach, in front of him, to the right of him, behind him. You know, it's like he couldn't have stood anywhere. They were just hitting him where he wasn't. And yeah, you know, that is the random chance. There's nothing you can do about that. So now the Swallows have a tough go of it. I think can they compete with the Carp? I like the comment about, yeah, sure, as long as Otake and Kenta Maeda don't win.
Yeah.
Well. Well, Nomura hasn't been winning, and Otake is now hurt. And Kenta Maeda, however, did win yesterday for the first time in, you know, Blue Moon.
No, wow. But that, you know, again, that's a lot of that is random too, because the Carp don't score a lot of runs. So
indeed. So yeah, it's going to be a hard slog for the Swallows. I haven't really seen them as being a championship caliber team, but they've been, interestingly enough, they've been a team a lot like the Cebu Lions in some ways, in that the manager has no fear of taking guys who've never done a darn thing from the except excel in the minors and bring them up and throw them into the lineup. And a couple of these guys I've been really impressed with, and I have to look a little deeper. I haven't done the minor league stuff the way I used to, but Jun Matsui, the center fielder, appears to be a really good player. And they have a shortstop, whose name escapes me, who played briefly this year. And it's not Morioka, who I've always liked. I liked him when he was buried in the Dragons' farm team.
Right.
But they have another shortstop. Morioka's not really a shortstop. He's the Swallows' copy of Shun Nemoto of the Marines. He's a guy who doesn't really have an arm. He's not really a base stealer. He's quick, but not with blazing speed. And he's basically an average hitter. So with a tiny amount of pop.
Anaki, was it? He came up. I remember he came up briefly.
Yeah, I think so. I think that was him. He's got he's really lit up the Eastern League. So that's it. That bodes well for the Swallows. I don't think it necessarily bodes well for them this year. But there are things I do love about the team. One is that they have this tremendous mix. Of course, whenever you have a team with a Shinya Miyamoto on it, you're going to have a lot of surplus of leadership. He's so low-key, but he knows everything. And he wouldn't have been in Japan playing baseball for close to 20 years now after getting out of college and the corporate leagues if he wasn't, if he wasn't on the ball.
Yeah, I like everything he does for the team in terms of the leadership. But the guy is, what he does is he has great at-bats. You know, he doesn't waste any at-bats. He's always in the right position. And we talked about him defensively before, about
right.
how he gets his feet in the right position. And that's so good for young players. You know, he made a really smooth transition from shortstop to third base, which because of that long throw and because, they call it the hot corner, I don't think it's all that easy for a shortstop to move over there.
It is harder. It's usually a very tough adjustment for a few months. I know Yukio Tanaka, he's now the Fighters batting coach, and he's another 2,000 hit guy. He's played all over the place, but he was primarily a shortstop through much of his career, and he said he looked horrible in his first games as a third baseman, essentially because when the ball's coming off a right-handed batter pulls the ball, you can't see it as well because the ball has to clear, come around his body. You get a late look at it, and it's a short shot to where you're standing. So that's a tough adjustment for a lot of guys, although Tanaka was a big hitter and Miyamoto is more of an athletic, a graceful fielder, so less so for him. Anyway, yeah, so I like things about the Swallows. They haven't been buried by their injuries, which is pretty amazing.
And that's the thing I was going to say, and this is something else that I looked up on the computer and left it at the office, but I think they were 16-24. I wish I had the record here in front of me, but I think it was 16-24 in July and August. They didn't really have, they didn't get blown out, but they hung in there.
Okay.
Obviously, they didn't make up any ground in terms of getting to the top spot, and they lost some ground because they were in third place for a long time. But I think if you can make it through those games, a stretch like that where you're not doing well and you're playing a lot of young guys and you're still winning games and you win enough to stay in at least the playoff race, and then you start getting guys back, it bodes well for the upcoming months. Now, of course, it's not like Valentin came back like Tony Blanco and started hitting home runs and was very productive, although he hit one the other night to win a game. Or help him win a game, but
yeah.
If he's at least a little bit effective and he can get back into the groove and find his form in these next couple of weeks, that's enough to help him score enough runs. I think they can pitch well enough. I told Tony after the interview that about last week's show when you kind of favored the Carp going to the playoffs in the third place spot, and I favored the Swallows, and I told him I was a Dragons fan and you were a Swallows fan, and he said, you know what? I like our team, like what we've got, and I think we can get there, and I'm with it.
Well, no shock there. I like our team. That's sort of like, if you don't like your team, you might as well just hang it up because you're not going to go anywhere. However, that being the case, I think sentimentally I like the Carp. I think that's part of that is that they haven't won in so long.
Me too.
And the Swallows have been a fairly ordinary team this year. The pitching hasn't quite been as sharp as it has been. They miss Yoshinori Sato a lot. So, I like that. Am I ruling them out? I mean, when I say I like the Carp better, then that's like saying it's a 55-40, 55-45 thing. I would give the Carp a slight edge, but when you're essentially tied, you really can't give it anything away.
Yeah. All right. Now, as you can tell, we've moved from outdoors to indoors. We needed a little bit of go-go juice for the computer, so we're indoors now.
Is that what you call it, go-go juice?
And talk about go-go juice. We got juiced up this past week when the WBC finally was decided that Japan would participate. It was good in the terms of the fact that they were going to play, but I think there's still a lot of questions in terms of what exactly happened.
Yeah, that is pretty bizarre.
And the language that they used, I was at the office that day. I was trying to translate the story, and we have a Japanese guy on our desk who's fairly fairly fluent in English, and we just looked at this and we just turned it sideways and upside down to try to figure it out. It was pretty vague, and you know, Japanese can be a really vague language in the first place, but I think the news agencies took advantage of the vagueness of Japanese to try to explain what was going on in the state.
Well, I've been doing the same thing in my office since Toshimasa Shimada, who's the chairman of NPB's International Relations Committee. He and Kunio Shimoda, the Secretary General of NPB, went to New York to reopen negotiations on the WBC, and were told, you know, no thank you. And then they came back, and Shimoda said, well, nothing really happened. And Shimoda said, we did get something. And what he was alluding to was this, we can call it a loophole.
Yeah.
They're claiming that essentially the whole issue over Japan's participation had to do with the licensing and, all kinds of rights. Essentially, the Japanese Players Association wants every penny that Japanese companies spend on the WBC, which is, of course, ludicrous because some of that has nothing to do with Japan. Mizuno is advertising in the other Japanese companies are advertising in the U.S. For them to say we want everything. If there was no WBC, there'd still be Japanese advertising. If Japan doesn't participate in the WBC, there'd still be Japanese companies advertising in it. So does it all belong to them? No. What they want is something. It's kind of interesting. They want the same kind of licensing ownership rights that teams get in the World Cup, the soccer's World Cup, and teams get in the Olympics. So if Japan, if Asahi makes a beer, WBC beer, that money would go to NPB.
Right.
Well, it doesn't work that way in the WBC, and there's a lot of, it's a very, very long, complicated issue. But essentially, the loophole they found, they've announced, is that sponsorship deals which run for an extended period of time would not fall under the heading of the WBC. So, for example, if Asahi Beer makes a Samurai Japan beer and Samurai Japan promotions that last all year, supporting the national team, the WBC wouldn't get a penny of that, according to that seems to be the case. Or they might get a fraction of it. I can't say, but anyway, that was the loophole.
Yeah, and as I was reading some of the stories, I'm like, well, nothing ever said that WBC Inc. had changed its stance.
And no, they haven't.
Nothing ever said that the Japanese side changed its stance. What it said was that, the article that I was working on just said that there was an understanding that there will be limited licensing and merchandising rights.
Right.
As long as nothing uses the WBC logo in any way.
Okay, that could well be.
And I'm like...
Big deal.
Well, I'm like, okay, yeah, it does sound like they found a loophole. It does sound like they found a way to get it done, whether it was on the Japanese side or they actually, maybe WBC said, well, maybe this is something you can do. I don't know who came up with the idea, but
right.
I'm glad they came up with it, and I'm looking forward to the games.
Right. Well, at the bottom of this is the question of what the union really wanted, because to be honest, they're in a peculiar position. They basically want, they said, Japanese companies were putting in 70% of the revenue that went into the WBC, and NPB was getting 16%. Well, that may be true. The problem with that is that if you really want that revenue, if you believe you deserve it, well, then what you should be doing is making your own tournament. The problem with that is if the Japanese Players Association made their own tournament, nobody would come. Therefore, they would get zero, which is 16% of that enormous pot that they're currently getting that is unfair. They would get nothing. So it's a very difficult situation. They're not in a political position to organize their own tournament. And yet they want all the fruits of a tournament that they cannot produce on themselves. So that it's an awkward situation. Now, however, that being the case, the union, now people in the union can fry me for this, but essentially they're being led around by the nose by a couple of lawyers. And that's why I believe the players would eventually play, because like lawyers, they and yeah, sorry lawyers, but I've seen enough lawyers
he doesn't
that
sound sorry, folks. He doesn't look sorry.
Well, I apologize to people who this is not a fair, an accurate resemblance of, but I've been through dealt with enough lawyers to say that we're not going to settle, we're not going to settle, we're not going to settle, and then 30 seconds before the time to go to court, okay, let's settle, let's cut it up. And they all know it's going to be like that, and they all say we're never going to settle. And so this looked like a law case in which they were gonna turn, you know, hold their breaths until they turned blue, and then oh, okay, we have a deal.
All right.
So that's one side. That's why I always thought they'd play. Now the other side is a much more interesting thing, and it doesn't require me to cast aspersions on lawyers anymore. Is that the fundamental issue with Japanese baseball, Japanese soccer, Japanese rugby, less so the soccer and more so the baseball and the rugby, is that the organization is if not incompetent, is unbusinesslike.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
what does that mean?
What it means is that for so long they've been in a situation where people show up, put money in the turnstiles, drop money on tickets, drop money on advertising, on sponsors and whatnot, and the game takes care of itself. We've got a profit. Everything's hunky-dory. Well, those days are long gone, and the idea that Japanese baseball was a profit-making business other than the Yomiuri Giants was something that was pretty alien. Now, here's the catch. In order to get the union on board, on Monday, September 3rd, the NPB announced a business initiative, Samurai Japan Project. Actually, they'd already had a Samurai Japan Project. This is a Samurai Japan business initiative, which is going to seek sponsorships for the national team and create essentially situations for the national team to play in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they were already scheduled to play Cuba in November. We've talked two games, I believe, November 14th and 16th. They're going to take part in an International Baseball Federation tournament in 2015, Premium 12. So they've got all these things going on geared towards the national team. Now, a blogger with the Wall Street Journal said that this initiative, just a second here, is going to generate $51 million over 4 years.
Really?
From sponsorship over the national team. I'm curious to see where that comes from.
Yeah.
It's probably coming from NPB, but it's not an unreasonable amount of money over 4 years.
Over 4 years, you think that, but still.
Anyway, but the whole point, what that led me to think is what the union really wanted is for Japanese baseball to prosper. I mean, fundamentally, because they prosper if Japanese baseball falls. Hell, the union prospers when Japanese baseball falls flat on its face because they don't know what they're doing. Like, the players make their money. However, the problem with the WBC overall is that one of the goals of the WBC is to grow baseball as a market outside of the places
where it's already popular.
Exactly. Now, this does not profit Japan one whit because Japanese baseball does zilch outside of Japan. That's not quite true. There's some marketing in Korea, a fraction in the United States. But it's very tiny. If Japan wants to exploit this market, I mean, MLB is going gung-ho in Eastern Europe and in China, and always looking for opportunities around Asia. This is somewhere where Japan has to be as well. So the goal of the union to get to get NPB to do something, you know, to stick a fork in them, you know, to stick a cattle prod at them, to get them to jump and think, hey, we need to run this like a business. In that respect, this was very successful. If only it got them to change their thinking.
Well, let's hope so, because I remember we went to a seminar last year in which the great author Robert Whiting was there on a panel, and he spoke about the fact that NPB doesn't do enough marketing and doesn't do enough promoting to grow the game here, even in Japan, and make
Indeed.
It a profitable venture for all the teams, because you look around at the teams, and I read somewhere, I think it was this week that I read somewhere, that only the Giants, Tigers, and the Carp were profitable.
Well, the Carp announce a profit every year, largely through their very good. The one thing the Carp do really well is cut players' salaries, pay nothing for their front office, but have tremendous licensing.
Right.
The Carp are one of the best. The best licensing teams in MPB.
So it's good if this does, like you say, maybe this was the cattle prod that the leaders needed, the leaders of MPB needed, the officials and everybody, to figure out how to make this thing more profitable so that we can enjoy our game a lot longer. I mean, you don't want to see teams going belly up or merging with other teams and spoiling the entire
On a bigger issue, I mean, that's the survival issue, but you really don't want, you know, survival isn't the goal, thriving is the goal, and you really want to see Japan on an even footing with MLB and being able to, you know, have the best stars want to come to Japan. So, I mean, that's the ideal goal where, you know, stars will, you know, flip a coin. Do I want to play in MLB or do I want to play in MPB?
Right. I talked to a scout before and he said, hey, you know, there's guys over here having great success and have had great careers, but don't you think they want to do that in the States? And I said, well, I guess, but I mean, what's wrong with Japan was my thinking, but
well, the level is not higher. That's the problem.
So yeah, enough of that business stuff. What I'm really interested in is who's going to be the manager. Ochai looks like he doesn't want to do it. He doesn't want the headache. It seems like most of the
I don't want Ochai to do it either. So that's two of us.
I actually don't think he would be a good WBC manager, but it looks like most of the reports have most of the active skippers saying that they don't want to have the because of the timing.
Right.
You have to be away from your team essentially at the time you're supposed to be getting everything together and going into the season in March.
Right.
So that active guys wouldn't want to do it. So the assignment might go to somebody who's inactive. The front runner for that is Koji Yamamoto, the former Hiroshima Carp.
Oh, what a horrible choice.
I'm not a fan of him either.
No.
So I'm going to ask you guys to give us your suggestions for who should be the WBC manager. Now, the commissioner, Kato, this week said they want to get this decided as quickly as possible, as soon as possible. So we'll see.
Well, yeah, the last time he said that in June 2008, I think they decided on the manager in October. So it's sort of like, I don't know if we call it dog years or dog speed or, you know, there's Kato's, there's normal human being speed and there's a Commissioner Kato's speed.
Don't do it.
So, okay. Anyway, so that's one issue. I've heard that Hara has already been chosen, but I don't think that's true. I'm hoping to talk to Sato Hara in the next couple of weeks, but I don't think he's going to spill any beans about that.
In fact,
I was warned away from him not even asking about who's going to be the manager.
Get away from me, Helen.
No,
but
not
you never
by
hear
yet.
That.
No, not in English. Or and not other than from Tuffy Rhodes and Michael Nakamura and Michael. Yeah, I know. We're done with both of you guys. We're all cool. So anyway.
All right. So there was another announcement this week that was of note. Go ahead.
Well, before we started talking about the managers and we were talking about business and teams operating as businesses, the Hanshin Tigers have had a disaster of a season. Normally, they make money because of their tremendous attendance and because of their high advertising rates they can charge in the Kansai area. Well, their attendance has just plummeted this year, like most teams.
I'm not surprised because they're not putting a very good product out there.
Well, again, anyway, so the whole point being that they did something this week, which they've been talking about doing, which was hiring a general manager. Now, okay, that's nothing. You know, teams say, oh, we'll hire a new general manager. Well, this is a new general manager in the sense that the Tigers have never, ever had one before. And this is, I mentioned that in the story that I wrote. In a sort of offhanded sense, this is the Tigers' first general manager. And one of our proofreaders read the story and says, no, you can't mean that. I said, yes, I do. They've never had one. Now, it doesn't mean they haven't had people running their front office.
Or someone acting and doing the responsibilities.
It's just that the teams have never... I can't say they all act independently. There's no sort of accepted wisdom on how a team should be run. I mean, there's a lot of variety in the United States as well. But here you get Sometimes you get a situation of too many cooks spoil the broth, where you have a lot of ill-defined roles. Some teams know who's doing everything, but it's very rarely a guy with a title that everybody can recognize who's not familiar with the organization. You know, you can't say, you know, I want to talk to the. Okay, how many teams have general managers? The Fighters have one. The Bay Stars have one.
Most of the guys I'm familiar with are the team president, and then after that, I don't even know who they.
Yeah, sometimes it's the head of baseball operations, sometimes the team president, sometimes it's the I don't know. The Eagles don't have any clearly defined role. The Hawks had two or three different guys who said they were the GM. and they were in some respects, but the fact is that it's an ill-defined thing in Japan. And there's nothing wrong with being ill-defined, you know, but the whole problem is that if everybody's doing a little different thing, that's okay if there's an evolution going on. But I don't sense that the evolutionary process is so slow here. So anyway, the Tigers announced their first ever GM, and it's a former manager and former player, Katsuhiro Nakamura.
Nakamura, yeah.
And when he was a manager, he did some things I liked with the Hanshin Tigers. He brought in a host of young players, and they had a very successful season. They finished very close. They came very close to winning a pennant in 1992.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much the rest of it was standard Tiger procedure, you know, just going to the toilet.
I think I read some comments from him, and I tried to do some research on him because I do remember him as a manager, but very vaguely. I couldn't speak Japanese very well back in 1992, and I was just studying the game. I was basically, you know, learning my way about the whole game itself, and I wasn't really focused on the players and the managers and what they were doing. But he said, you know, for next season, he was asked about next season. He says, look, I can't tell you what we're going to do right now. I don't know. I'm going to have to evaluate. But the team needs to be strong up the middle. And, you know, we've heard that a lot before, but they're not very strong up the middle. And I know you like, obviously, at catchers, they've been struggling. So we know that's an issue off the bat. I'm not convinced Hirano at second. I'm not convinced Torihane at short. Very good in center field. They've just been average.
Well, Hirano has been playing in center field a lot recently.
Left field too, right?
Yeah.
So I don't. If they're going to be strong up the middle, they're going to have to just uproot everything they've got. I mean, if you say he brings in young players or.
Well, they had. You have to understand that that was a time when they had a.
And they could do it.
Well, yeah, they could. But the other thing was they had these. The Tigers in 1992 were not all that different from the Tigers in about 2005 or 2006. I'll say 2006, in that they had a lot of young. They had a tremendous farm team as they did in 2005. In 1992, the difference was they had nobody on the first team who was worth a darn.
Yeah.
So he could basically take half the guys on the farm team, bring them up, give them jobs, and the team was vastly better. They have some good players on the first team, and they have a history of success, which they didn't have. You know, so he brought up a shortstop, a guy named Tsuyoshi Shinjo.
Oh, yeah.
And they had a couple other guys who could really, a lot of speed, very young, very interesting. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, we don't know if they have those kind of guys right now in the system, but I think that they need to. If he's gonna be the guy that they bring in as the first general manager, I think he's gonna make changes. I think he's gonna blow the whole thing up.
Well, the most I mean, you could look. He was the general manager of Oryx. There's a team that doesn't have one right now. It's a 2003 to 2012. And one thing about Oryx during that time, well, of course, they were two different teams. They were the Oryx Blue Wave when he started, and they were the Oryx Buffaloes when they finished. One of the things about them was that they had 8 managers in 10 years. I mean, they had more managers than ushers. So I would, you know, you might not be surprised to see a lot of Tigers managers now, although I don't think that was necessarily Nakamura's doing, and one of the managers died, so you can't hold Nakamura accountable for that.
Sure you can.
No, he died of cancer, and I don't think he was, and then Nakamura had to manage the next year, so that's two guys, one unnecessary change. One guy quit, who was Terry Collins, so those two things he couldn't do a lot about, so... I don't really think that's a, I don't think that's an indication of his ability or his policy. I never really noticed any policy of his, although they did have some good young talent when he was there, and they do have a lot of talent on the team on Oryx, but they've been, as my opinion of them is, they've been horribly mismanaged. So, Oryx, more so than Hanshin even, last 10 years.
Yeah. Well, for the Tigers, I think, I don't think pitching has been an issue. I hope they bring back Messenger, and I think Standridge deserves to come back. Other than that, and Nomi obviously was injured early on, and he's just now starting to get into form, it seems. So, but other than that, I mean, you know, bring in whatever foreign players you have to, spend whatever money you have to there, and they have some young talent. Bring up those young players, let them play, see what they have now. You know, from now to the end of the season, bring up some of these young guys, see what they have, and then start over. And if that means Kanemoto doesn't get a starting job and he's just a pinch hitter, then so be it. Because I think, he'd be better off bowling the ball in from left field than throwing it right now.
Yeah, he's basically a DH at this time of his career. I was doing a story about the Tigers the other day for my my Spanish language magazine buddy, and basically the thing I noticed was that the Tigers season, I discussed this in the podcast a week or two ago, that Tigers season essentially ended on June 9th. That was the day that they benched Matt Merton for being sarcastic.
Right.
And he was, at that time, the worst, the least productive regular on the team. But there were only two regular position players who were better than the league average. Those were Tori Tani and Kanemoto. Kanemoto because of his on-base percentage, and Tori Tani just because he's had the best season of anybody on the team all year. Okay, now, since Merton was in Merton's game as a regular, since he was benched, Tori Tani and he have been the two best players. A bunch of the players have done better, but the point being, just a lot of the guys are below par, and Kanemoto was surprisingly good. I didn't think the reporters, of course, the reporters at the time of the whole Merton incident told me that Kanemoto hasn't played well. Well, what Kanemoto hadn't done was hit for average.
Mm-hmm.
He had hit. He had extra base. Basically, he didn't. He was a 240 hitter who was hitting a lot of doubles and drawing a ton of walks.
Yeah, he's got a great swing. He still has a great swing. He's not, you know, he's not missing fastball. He's not missing. He's not late on a lot of pitches. He's still pulling everything. So I think he can still play, but I think he's a DH. I just think it's so much to put him out in the field.
And the question is how long he can play, and I that's really not a bet. Nobody's going to. No, if, you know, unlike Sugiuchi, you know, if the Tigers went to Kanemoto and said, you know, if we asked if you wanted to go out there and find a job, who's going to raise their hand? And I think with Kanemoto, it would be nobody in the Central League.
Yeah. Yeah. Nobody. All right, speaking of the Central League and talking about bodies, no segue here. Last week we talked about the monthly MVPs, and we put together our list, or it was mostly Jim's list. I think four out of the four were Jim's. And I contributed repetition.
That's all right.
And the guys who won were Shinosuke Abe as the Central League's top hitter. Well, that's what we'll call it, the top hitter. And the top pitcher was Kazuki Yoshimi of the Chunichi Dragons, as predicted by Jim and myself.
Right. That was
because I contributed.
Well,
I was helping.
Yoshikawa was pretty much an easy choice, and Yoshimi was a pretty much easy choice.
We got Josh Whitesell. Was the best hitter, and then Mitsuo Yoshikawa of the Fighters. White Sells with the Marines. And yes, Yoshikawa was fantastic, and he topped it by coming back with another great performance the other day.
Yeah, the day he was awarded. So, the Central League was good. Abe led both leagues in RBIs, and Josh Whitesell led both leagues in on-base percentage, and Lasting's millage had a great month, and he easily could have won if it weren't for the fact that Abe had so darn many, you know, had 8 home runs and 27 RBIs. Millage had 14 RBIs from mostly from the leadoff spot, which is pretty amazing, and scored 20 runs too, which is Abe scored like 10. So in the balance, Millage had a great season, but on the other hand, Abe's a great season, had a great month, and he had a great season that month pretty much. And Abe is a catcher though, and Millings is a he's an outfielder, and he's an outfielder of varied quality depending on where the balls are hit to him. And he's got a good arm. I love to watch him throw, and but you know,
he's still learning that outfield. I think the wind plays tricks on the ball. I think it's just new, and he's still in his first season here. And Matt Merton had a really bad time out there one day, and he's been playing in that stadium for 3 years. So
right. Left field is, I think, actually the Bermuda Triangle has been some sort of seismic shift, and it's now in left field at Jinku Stadium. Because I just watched this. This has been uncanny that everywhere where the outfielder is, the ball isn't.
It's been interesting. All right. This week we want to hear from you. We want to hear your teams in the WBC. Who do you think is going to start? Who do you think is going to be the manager? And just send them in via email to yakyujohn@gmail.com, and we'll talk about it next week and see if we can figure out who's going to start. If Vegito is going to be out there as a starting outfielder, if Abe is going to be the catcher. I don't think he should be, actually, but it'll be interesting.
Yeah, well, Abe certainly has some time to get hurt before this WBC.
In honor of Tony Barnett, I wanted to talk about some notable Sun Devils from Arizona State. Who's the first one who comes to mind for you here?
Reggie Jackson.
Second. Barry Bonds for me. When I looked it up, I found out that Reggie Jackson was an Arizona State guy.
Frank Cush.
Also, Bob Horner, who played with the Outfield Swallows in the late 80s, was an Arizona State guy. And now Ian Kinsler, a teammate of Yu Darvish.
Yeah.
Also Arizona State grad. And Andre Ethier of the Dodgers.
Wow.
Yeah, some interesting guys have been on Arizona State, so we appreciate our Sun Devils.
And of course, in honor of Tony Barnett, Reggie Jackson actually played football, so there we go.
He's a Hall of Famer in the Baseball Hall of Famer. So. Anyway, send us your team, send us your email, send us your comments, yakyujohn@gmail.com, and we will talk to you next week from probably a little bit more quieter place, hopefully.
Yeah, and hopefully there won't be any homicides involved.
We want your MP3s, so send them on to the show. Talk to you next week. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your baseball.
See ya.